So that's the theme for today, getting to know you. There was a story about a young pastor who just graduated from seminary and went off to his first church. It was a small church, and he was very excited about going and sharing everything that he'd learned in his 4 years of schooling, and he was excited about all the changes that he was going to make, and couldn't wait to get to his church and tell them exactly what it was that they needed to hear. And so he gets to his new church on his first Sunday, and he confidently steps up onto the platform and turns around and begins to preach what God had laid on his heart. And as he's going on, he notices that people really aren't receiving what he's saying. And there isn't, you know, you can tell when people are getting what you're saying. You can tell when people are on the same page as you. And he could really tell that they really weren't connecting with him. And so the longer he preached, the worse he felt. By the time his sermon was done, he stepped off the platform and he was broken. He was shaky. He was unsure. He was just saying, God, what happened? What did I do wrong? What's going on? And God, why did you abandon me? And as he was trying to figure out what had happened, an older gentleman came up to him and said, so how did it go? He says, I don't know what happened. It was awful. I don't know. I bombed terribly. And the older gentleman had lots of experience, and he said to him, he said, young man, he said, if you had have gone up on the platform the way you came down from the platform, you would have come down the way you went up. And, you know, if we begin to believe that we have it all together and that we know exactly what we should do or what needs to happen, and we plan on doing those things on our own, we can fail miserably. And I can tell you this morning, I have never been this nervous in my life. Never been this nervous before. Somebody asked me, when's the last time you've been through a transition? I said, well, really, it's only been 4 years. We moved from Ontario to Kindersley, Saskatchewan, just about 4 years ago now. And it's actually been a lot longer for this church to have gone through a transition than it is for me. But this is a huge, huge day for me. Here I am meeting all you new people. Some of you I've met before. If I met you before and I forgot your name, I apologize. I'm usually pretty good with names, but I'm just a little bit shaky this morning. Now, that's a good place to be, because I need God this morning more than ever in my life. But today is all about getting to know one another. It seems like it's taken a very long time to actually get here. From the time we started the process, and even from the time when we said, yes, we'd be coming, it seemed to have taken a long time to get to this point. Now, there are some times when it seems like it's going too fast, usually when we look at how much stuff we have to pack. Then it seems like it's going way too fast. But for the most part, it seemed like it's taken quite some time. Karen's not here yet, my wife. She's back home in Saskatchewan, waiting for the arrival of our fifth grandchild. Carter could come anytime now in the next couple of weeks. She'll be here around the end of May, somewhere at the end of the month. I guess it's May now. Her and Hillary, our youngest, and our dog Monty, will be making their way out here at the end of the month, and they're excited about coming. But the next season of our lives has begun here in Terrace, and we're very excited to see what God is going to do. If you got a bulletin this morning, yeah, you'll find one of these little pieces of paper with some blanks on it. You can use that this morning for sermon notes. If you just want to, you know, throw it out, you can do that as well. I am a visual learner, so if I can write something down, it helps me remember it. So if that's useful for you, that's great. If you just want to pass notes to your girlfriend, like, do you like me, type Y or N, then you can do that too. I'm fine with that. It doesn't matter to me. If it's helpful, great. But, you know, today is about getting to know one another. I hope you soon realize that my wife and I are very interested in building relationships. Relationships are a very important part of who we are as people, who we are as Christ followers. Relationship building is a huge part of our ministry. It's a giant part of our walk with God. I don't know how you introduce somebody to Jesus without actually knowing them first. So we want to get to know you. We want you to get to know us. But relationships take time to develop. They don't happen overnight. I mean, we can pack all of our stuff into boxes and have it shipped out here in a few days, but moving relationships is much more difficult than that. It takes a lot more time than that. Somebody suggested at the luncheon today that everybody wear name tags so I could get to know you. And I said, please do not ask people to wear name tags. First of all, it's just odd. And second of all, if you wear a name tag, you'll expect me to remember your name right away, and that's not going to happen. I do not want you to have unrealistic expectations. If it's been a long time since you've had a new pastor, I know you've had lots of interim pastors, but if it's been a while since you've had somebody come here as the new guy, you have to understand that it takes time to get to know one another. I don't know how interim pastors like the Cassidys do it. I don't know how they go from place to place and meet new people all the time and lead them. I mean, getting to know people is difficult. It's really, really hard to preach to people you don't know. I don't know how itinerant ministers do it. To not know people and preach God's word to them is a very difficult thing. Now, I'm not expecting you to feel sorry for me, but I want you to understand that it's difficult for me. It's a very personal thing, hearing from God and sharing his word with other people, hearing a specific message or word for a particular group of people, it's difficult. To find a word that meets people where they are in their journey at a specific time without knowing who they are, without knowing their struggles, without knowing their victories, without knowing any of those things is a hard thing to do. When you don't know someone, there are some very important things missing that can make a relationship, it can make things difficult. Like confidence is missing. If I don't know you and you don't know me, there's going to be a period of time before you will have any confidence in my abilities. I don't expect you to just believe that I can be your pastor. I mean, it's going to take some time for you to trust me before you begin to invite people to hear this crazy guy from the flatlands of Saskatchewan. You're going to need to get some confidence in me. And I'm going to need some time before I put my confidence in you. Our dog Monty is a very tender soul. He's scared of everything. He's 75 pounds. He's big. So everybody looked at him. Oh, you got a big dog and he must be scary. You know, he's scared of everything. He's scared of the vacuum cleaner. He's scared of the dishwasher. He's scared of the washing machine. He doesn't like the dryer. He doesn't like loud noises. Don't slam any cupboards. I mean, he's scared of everything. So before we ask somebody to dog sit for us if we go away, we're going to make sure you're not going to yell and scare poor Monty. We're going to need to have confidence in one another before we begin or the relationship gets close. And that comes with time. Another thing that doesn't happen quickly is, without a close relationship, is clear communication. It's going to take some time in relationship before we begin to speak each other's language. And I don't mean our native tongue either. I mean, don't even get me started on some of the native names around here on those signs. My Lord, I'm just lost. I listen on the radio and I say, how do you spell that? I don't understand. I'm unsure. But I mean, even if we have English in common, clear communication is difficult. It's difficult because how we communicate, where we grew up, the circumstances that we were raised in, the kind of style of communication that was in our home. I came from a yelling home. We yell all the time. It's loud. When our family get-togethers happen, you can't hear yourself think. Everybody talks at the same time. As our children were born, they got louder and louder and louder. Our oldest is loud. Our youngest is really loud. So if you didn't know me, then you would think I was yelling all the time, but that's just how I have to be heard if I want to talk amongst my four daughters. I Our communication styles are unique to us as individuals. And if you throw in the cultural differences, you'll find how difficult it is to communicate with one another without knowing one another. It's going to be a long time before you figure out when I'm being funny and when I'm not being funny. If you laugh when you're not supposed to, I'll laugh along with you, but I'm going to wonder, what did I do wrong? I won't understand what your love language is right away until I get to know you better. But the greatest deficiency in a new relationship is trust. It's going to be difficult to trust one another. We will figure out how to communicate with one another so we understand and we get along. And we'll figure out whether or not we can do or not do certain things. You're going to have enough confidence in me that I'm not going to embarrass you in front of your friends and family. And that if you do sit in the front row, I won't spit on you when I preach. Probably. That's one of the funny parts you're supposed to laugh at, by the way. But if we don't get to know one another, if we don't take the time to get to know one another, if we don't build a solid relationship, if we don't take the time to figure out who each of us are, if we don't make relationship building a high priority and purposely work at it, and if we're unwilling to do more than just the minimum of say, good morning and I'll pray for you, then we're not going to be able to trust one another. Does that make sense to you? That it's going to take effort to get to know one another. Building a strong, close relationship so we can grow and thrive as a community of believers. If you believe it's important to have relationship, raise your hand. Good. Good. That's good. That was a trick question, though. Our relationship is important. It is important. But it's not the most important relationship that we need to talk about. If we're going to do church together, if we're going to impact our community for the kingdom of God, if we're going to have an impact here in Terrace, we need to have a strong relationship. But a far more important relationship is the one between you and God. All these issues and difficulties that can affect our new relationship can also affect our relationship with God. A lack of confidence, an inability to clearly communicate, and a lack of trust can be indicators that we don't know God the way we should. So we're going to spend a few minutes this morning looking at what the Bible says about knowing God and having closer relationship with Him. But first, let's pray. Father God, we need to know You this morning. We need to know You in a way that's close, that's personal, that's intimate. Father, where we hear You, we trust You, we have confidence in You. Father God, help bring us close this morning so that we can know all these things. Father, we can never know all of You, but we can know You more. Please make that real by the power of Your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So some things about knowing God. First of all, God has created us with a desire to know Him intimately. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." Wanting to know God is ingrained in you. It is ingrained in your heart. It's ingrained in your mind. It's ingrained in your spirit. Just like an adopted child who is seeking out their birth parents, we were born with a desire to know where we came from and to know who God is. It isn't weird to want to know God. It's not strange to want to ask questions about who you are and where you came from. It's perfectly natural, and in fact, God has placed that desire inside of you. So you would seek Him out. Like it says in Psalm 42, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for You, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him?" There is a hunger in us to know God. The problem is too many people try and fill that void with other things. They try and fill it with stuff, with possessions. They try and fill it with accomplishments. They try and fill it with money. They try and fill it with substances. They try and fill it with feelings. They try and fill it with other relationships. But the truth is that the only thing that can fill that space in our lives is a relationship with God and knowing God. The second thing we find about knowing God is more than just keeping the rules. Hosea chapter 6. O Israel and Judah, what should I do with you? Asked the Lord. For your love vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with judgments as inescapable as light. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Relationships are complicated. Men, you know what I'm talking about. Right? We want one thing and one thing only. Any married man, any man looking to be married, any man looking to be interested in being married wants the same thing. Ladies, tell us the rules. Just tell us what the rules are. Tell us what we have to do to make you happy. The problem is, men, we all know what happens. As soon as we figure out the rules, what happens to the rules? They change. Absolutely. We just want to know what the rules are. Just tell me what I got to do, and I'll do it. And that's often what we all want from God. Just give me the list of what I have to do, God. Just give me the list of things that you want me to do and the list of things you don't want me to do. But just skip all the relationship stuff, God. I don't want to get my heart involved in the whole thing. I'm okay with doing what I'm told, God. Just don't ask me to change my attitude. I'm okay with tithing, Father God. Just don't ask me to be joyful about it. Don't ask me to change my heart attitude. But your heart is the very thing God is most concerned about. God isn't as concerned with the posture of your body as he is with the posture of your heart. You can bow your knee. You can bend down. But if you have a stubborn, unsurrendered heart, you are a long way from God. All relationships are hard, and close relationships even more so. If you think they just happen on their own, you're fooling yourself. Because knowing God doesn't happen by accident. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. If you want to know God more, if you want to walk closer with him, closer today than you did yesterday, it will require you to strive for it. God is not elusive. He isn't hard to get to know. It isn't hard work because God wants to make knowing him difficult. It's difficult because the enemy of God knows what happens when a sold-out, obedient, spirit-filled believer is empowered to go and knows him well. Satan knows the damage that you can do if you're walking closely with God. And he'll put all kinds of things in your way to keep you from that intimate relationship. He'll distract you with trouble and temptation. He'll distract you with a busy calendar. He might distract you with worry and anxiety over your future. The enemy can distract you from a closer walk with God with things that aren't even bad, like success or good works. He'll use anything to distract you from actually seeking after God. And that closeness that can take you from a wounded, weak soldier to an elite Navy SEAL or Army Ranger in the kingdom. Having that kind of impact for God doesn't happen by accident. It happens when knowing God becomes our highest priority. Philippians chapter 3. I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. One of the most deadly distractions that can affect a Christ follower is doing good stuff. Sometimes Christians are just far too busy doing good stuff. Most churches are filled with people who genuinely want to have a closer walk with God, but they're just unsure exactly how that happens. So what they do is they busy themselves with things they think are going to make them closer to God. They're going to fill that void. They go to seminars. They go to meetings. They go to worship gatherings and read books. They download podcasts and read blogs. And they even sign up to volunteer with kids ministry or junior high ministry or senior high ministry or young adult ministry or seniors ministry. All with the hope that this will bring them the closeness that they crave. And we think these things are the valuable things. You know, when Paul's talking about the things that get in the way, when he talks about things being garbage, I don't think he's necessarily talking all about worldly things. I don't think he's necessarily talking just about sinful things. I think sometimes he's just talking about things that get in the way of our relationship with God. And what we need to know the difference between what those things are and what those things aren't is discernment. We have a lack of discernment, and that's the biggest thing that gets in the way of closeness with God. Now, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, Spurgeon says. It's the difference between knowing what's right and almost right. You see, we want to do good things. We want to serve God. And so we get busy doing so many things. But because we can't tell the difference, or because we don't actually bother to ask God what he wants us to do, we just go ahead and do what we want to anyway. We get involved in so many good things that we no longer realize our first priority is not to work for God, but to know God. I was in ministry before I was in ministry. I was in business. I spent 18 years at the Shoppers Drug Mart chain. Found out how you could do more with less every year for 18 years. I didn't know it was possible, but it is. When I went into ministry, I was certain that would be the key for the close relationship with God that I had longed for. But I soon found out that it's easy to replace one job for another job, and ministry can become a job. And you cannot have the closeness of God no matter how much time you spend preparing sermons, because they're two very different things. Working for God and knowing God are much, much different. Now, ministry department heads, please do not panic. The pastor is not suggesting that everybody resign from your ministry. Please. Do not think that. And if you are volunteering, do not go and resign today. What I'm saying is that service is best born out of love and not out of obligation. If we're going to serve where God wants us to serve, it'll be because we love him. It will not even be because you love kids. It'll be because you love God. If the people in this church are walking so closely with God that they hear him speak and they're obedient to what he says, do you not think God will lead them to serve where he is working? Of course he will. Let's put the relationship with God as our first priority, and let's encourage every potential volunteer to do the same, and the workers will be beating down your door. Lots of amazing things can happen when we make knowing God our highest priority. People get excited about serving. They become more generous with their time and resources. People have an increased capacity to love and care for other people. And knowing God also helps us to become more aware of ourselves and our own situation. You see, knowing God makes us aware of our condition. Very powerful picture in Isaiah chapter 6, the first five verses. It was in the year King Uzziah died, and I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two rings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." One of the greatest lies we can begin to believe is that at our core, we are good people. We can be deceived into thinking that for the most part, we're good. You see, if we're generally good people, then any shortcomings we have, we can just fix them up with a fresh coat of paint. If we are generally good people, then it doesn't take much to spiff us up. Nothing too radical has to happen if we're good people. Nothing too major has to happen for us to be made acceptable. Certainly, we don't need to do anything like repent if we're generally good people. And we don't need to turn from our sin or make any changes to our attitudes, our behavior. And if we aren't that bad, we certainly don't need anything like a Savior. And when we're far from God, when we aren't close to Him, when we aren't tuned in to who He is, if we don't see a picture of His holiness on a day-to-day basis, if we don't know that He's full of justice, we begin to believe that we're okay. And we don't see ourselves as the broken, crooked, sinful individuals that we were born to be. I don't want this to be a downer. I don't think anybody has to go out of here beating themselves. But if we're far from God, we can get this impression that we're really okay, just like we are. In the New King James, Isaiah put it like this when he comes face to face with God's holiness. "Woe is me, for I am undone." When we come in God's presence, do we feel undone? Do we sense that we are so far from what is necessary? We are in such need of a Savior that we throw ourselves before Him and say, "God, have mercy on me." When we know God, we begin to see ourselves as we really are, and we realize that we need something more drastic than Oprah Winfrey. We need something more positive or more powerful than a positive attitude. We need something more than perfect church attendance. We need the shed blood of Christ. There's one more thing I want to tell you about knowing God. That's that knowing God brings eternal life. John chapter 5, verses 39 to 40. "You study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life," Jesus says. And this might rock your world. It kind of shook me up when Holy Spirit made this truth in my life. Our claim to eternal life is not contingent on us saying a prayer at an altar. It's not contingent on following the four spiritual laws or even Romans Road, if you remember any of those things. Eternal life comes from knowing God. Jesus clearly states that. He says, "You study the Scriptures believing that will bring you eternal life, but you're wrong. Coming to Christ brings eternal life," Jesus says. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Look at John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. "After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so we can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.'" What? If you want to have eternal life that Jesus offers, know God. Well, Pastor, I know God. I follow Jesus. I try and do what's right. Great. Did you know that the word "know" in that verse is the same word used in Genesis 4:1 when it says, "Now Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain." That's the kind of closeness God wants to have with his children. Now, all the men now are squirming because we're talking about intimacy, and that's just a word for dudes. Ew. Talking about an intimate relationship with Jesus, that's another dude. That's kind of weird. Ew. But God wants to walk so closely with us. He wants that to happen in each of our lives. He wants us to get so close to Him. He wants to for us to know Him so well that new life begins to spring up everywhere in us, through us, and around us. That's the kind of relationship God wants with His kids. That's the kind of closeness He's talking about. That newness, that new life is called fruit. We need to be growing closer and more fruit-filled every day. Let's stand together this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to the altar and have some prayer ministry in a minute. But maybe you've been scared to get too close to God. I mean, maybe you hear, you're right on the same page as me. Yeah, Pastor, I really want that closeness with God. But what does that look like? What kind of radical, kind of freaky thing are you talking about there? Well, we're talking about a relationship where we know one another. It's not a heavy relationship. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." That yoke is a picture of partnership, where Jesus walks with us and partners with us. Maybe you believe the lie that your life isn't in that bad shape. You can fix it yourself. I'm okay. I'm pretty good, Pastor. I mean, I do lots of good stuff. But if you get a glimpse of God, maybe you got a glimpse of God's holiness this morning and you realize how broken that you really are. And you want to get to know God more because you realize that knowing God is where the eternal life comes from. Maybe you just realize that you aren't as close as you were before. That the relationship has gotten a little bit distant between you and God. But you realize God hasn't moved one step. Or maybe you just want to spend a little time with the Father today around the altar. I'm going to invite you to come this morning. The prayer ministry team is going to come. If you need to go, you go. We're just going to have a little bit of family time around the altar here. It doesn't have to be weird. It's family time. That's all it is. I'm going to invite you to come. The worship team is going to play. The prayer ministry team will come and pray with you. Like I said, if you need to go, feel free to go. You can visit out in the lobby. There's a luncheon right afterwards. Okay? Somebody will pray over the food and you guys can eat. We're just going to stay and have a little bit of time with God. Let's just pray for a minute. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would continue to speak to us this morning. As people go, may they go with your blessing. But Father God, if we come here to the altar, may we meet with your Spirit this morning. May we receive that close, personal, fatherly hug from you this morning that we need. Father, if we need to know you're holy and we're not, Lord God, that our righteousness is found in Christ, I pray we would see that this morning. But I pray we would trust you this morning, Lord, as we come. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.